This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Dente The Rock put up two fingers because they're going to get somebody else, and I theorize it's Triple H. I theorize Dwayne and John are going for Triple H next.
No. It's CM Punk, dude. I mean, he's not in the main event, which he wants to be. It's going after CM Punk.
I think it's going to be Seth, Triple H's protege.
I mean, could be.
The man
could
with be. The most hate in his heart in the world.
I mean, that's John Cena. They just patented, they just trademarked Break-A-Wish. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Sometimes you trademark something so someone else can't use it. Doesn't mean they're going to use it.
I mean, it doesn't. Doesn't mean they're not going to use it. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the live stream because he was kind enough to step away from his real job to come on board and talk about dumb stuff with me and Lonzo, the legend himself, host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM, host of whatever show they need him to host on the BetMGM network, the icon Denton Day joining us here. What's up, fella?
What up, fellas? It's funny you say stepping away from my job. I was actually stepping away from a conversation with our boss at the BetMGM network. So,
am I still employed?
You're still employed. In fact, okay. He says hello. So,
oh, good.
Not only you're employed, he sends well wishes.
I love that.
Wait. Uh-oh. He sent well wishes.
Yeah, that gives see me in my office after the show vibes.
Not future endeavors, just
okay.
Well wishes.
I'll take that. For now, I will take it. Denton Day joining us here on the show to talk a little college football. Maybe we get into the NFL. We'll find out. I want to start, Denton Day, with what is the biggest news, at least down here in my region of the country, the beautiful upstate of South Carolina, right down the road from Clemson, where that school, as well as Florida State, reached a settlement with the ACC yesterday. That settlement increases the amount of money based on the amount of viewership that any individual program within the conference brings to the table. It also drops the exit fee to leave the ACC dramatically. Do you have any thoughts on that settlement? Because to me, it just kind of felt like not the ACC trying to prevent Florida State and Clemson from leaving, because I still think they are. I just think we pushed it to like 2031. I think it's just the ACC trying to buy themselves time with those brands to figure out how they're going to exist afterwards.
I would agree with the latter. It also feels like a kind of like, fine, here. This is what you want. You want something else. We will give this to you. They're not going to stop, you know, because as years progress, as we get closer, you know, to the Super League that is inevitably coming, they're going to see the SEC and Big Ten get way more money. And then we'll do this song and dance, maybe not next year, but in 2 or 3 years, because they're going to want more money. I think it is kind of funny that if they're getting paid based on viewership, that almost feels in a way like a program at NIL. The ACC is giving them, all right, if you feel like you are valued at this, let's see if you are actually valued at this. I think the inevitable is that the ACC in years to come is not going to exist, but at the very least, it saves itself at least another 2-3 years. Hopefully long enough to where basketball becomes relevant again in the conference, because hot damn, outside of Duke, they stink this year.
Hey, maybe a little love to my Clemson Tigers down here in the upstate. That's not a bad little basketball team, bro. Hey, they're one of 9 teams in that KenPom 21-26 to win a natty club, which is
That's pretty true. That is true. All right, so Clemson and Duke, and then everyone else stinks.
Okay, I agree with that.
We'll still get Duke, UNC shoved down our throat this weekend.
Yeah, of course.
Wait.
Of course we will. Without a doubt. That's how the big dogs roll. Denton Day joining us here on the show. Double D, I have said for a hot minute here, the ultimate reality is we end up, I don't know if we end up with a Super League. I think we end up with two. I think the SEC is one. The Big Ten is one. They're going to figure out a way to drive an already blossoming partnership between the two of them forward. The Big 12 in the ACC, I think, are just trying to figure out if there is viability as a third member of that trio, if they can get there. I think it ends up being the Big 12. I think they've built a better foundation to stand on. The ACC basically threw a Hail Mary to keep Clemson and Florida State in the fold for at least 7 years so that they can kind of build off of that. My question is, do you think when this is all said and done, whether it's 2036 when the ACC grant of rights is over, if it's 2040 or hell, if it's 2030 when Florida State and Clemson can leave for their cheapest, do we end up with one Super League? Do we end up with two super conferences that play each other AFC-NFC style? Or do we end up with a third team that's like, hey, you weren't welcome in the big dog, so come play here even though you'll never win a natty?
I feel like the one Super League, two conferences is much more realistic, because I don't think it'll be hard to take teams from that third conference that you might like, especially if you do think just a little bit outside of football. So like Duke basketball could be worth something. Kansas basketball could be worth something. And I feel like that would make it a lot easier to go and get some of those teams. Because what I don't think is going to happen, Rob, in whatever kind of scenario we get here, one Super League, conferences, three, whatever, I cannot imagine that teams are going to get kicked out of the SEC and Big Ten, right? Or something would have to go really, really wrong for teams to get kicked out, even though that we know Vanderbilt has not been exceptional outside of, you know, the run that they had this year. And there have been teams in the Big Ten, Maryland, Rutgers, Indiana, they haven't been exceptional for long stretches of time, but you're just kind of in there already. You kind of get grandfathered in. So I can't imagine they're going to kick anybody out, which does lead me to believe that they would be willing to take maybe a lesser bat or lesser football school that's really good traditionally at basketball as you continue to expand. I think that'll be a lot easier to swallow. Whereas now they're like, well, we need you to have a good football school. So I think that actually kind of takes a shot at the Big 12, because there are teams that these super leagues, if you're just in the art of expansion, you want to get as big as possible, because that theoretically means you'll get as much money as possible. So I don't think a third team will be able to survive unless it's like just a bunch of group of five teams.
Like 1996, when the outsiders said they had a third man and we spent weeks trying to figure out who it was before the ultimate heel turn of Hulk Hogan, I think there's at least a third man that makes this happen for the ACC, Denton Day, and I think it's North Carolina. Like, I like the hiring of Bill Belichick, not because I think he's going to succeed. I think he's going to be an abject failure. We can talk about that in a minute. Yeah. But because the brand awareness for UNC is the highest it's been since, I don't know, Michael Jordan was there back in the day and in his prime. But you mentioned basketball, that the SEC, maybe the Big Ten, decent basketball conference, not as good as the SEC this year, and the Big 12, they may look to go, okay, we're not going to keep up with football, like the Big 12 ACC specifically. We're not going to keep up. If we want to make up that ground, maybe we have to promote ourselves as the premier basketball conference. North Carolina and Duke suddenly enter the conversation. I don't think they wanted to get involved with the lawsuits, Denton Day. Like, let Florida State and Clemson go take the lump. So if they lose these litigations, they end up having to bear all the cost of them down the line. But if they find their way through the wilderness and find a way out, then we just follow the path that they cleared to get there. If another conference, probably the Big 12, starts looking at how do we make ourselves a premier basketball institution, maybe we don't make as much, but we're in that conversation, Duke and North Carolina, and then you could add NC State, Wake Forest, the other North Carolina schools that may be packaged in with them, all of a sudden, they make themselves more attractive, and that's real bad for the ACC too, in my opinion.
It definitely is. Really, what I think is going to happen, Rob, is once Clemson and Florida State leave, and at this point that feels inevitable, it's more a question of when, not if, UNC to me fits really well in the Big Ten. I know geographically, I still think in the geographic, even though I shouldn't, just based on the way that conferences are, but they geographically fit way better in the SEC. But if you're looking, if you want to take the basketball element of this, but if you're looking for a rival, you already have built-in ones in the Big Ten, specifically with Maryland. You know, Maryland and UNC, you know, I'm in the area, so I have a little bit of a knowledge of this rivalry, but for years, that was a massive rivalry in the ACC. So if Clemson and Florida State want to make their way to the SEC, it would not stun me at all if UNC is like, oh, we can get out of here. We're going to get out of here. We have enough brand awareness to justify joining the Big Ten. Academically, we are good enough to justify joining the Big Ten, and we have some teams in here that we are already familiar with enough to justify joining. We have a built-in rivalry, something that Maryland does not have right now in the Big Ten. They've been there for like 10 years. They don't have a legit rival. Now you have a rival in that conference. Maryland's happy. UNC's happy. The Big Ten gets UNC basketball, which sooner rather than later, the pendulum will swing the other way. I know they suck this year, but eventually they will be back to being good again. I think they fit really, really well in the Big Ten when we inevitably blow the ACC up.
I don't disagree with that. Here's my question, because you mentioned three things there. Rivalries, geography, and academics. I think the academics matter more in the conference's eyes than maybe any of us out here in Fan Nation believe that they do, specifically for the Big Ten. I don't think geography matters anymore. I'd like to point out that California's in the Atlantic Coast Conference. That doesn't matter as a factor anymore, in my opinion.
It doesn't. You're right. Just in my head, I still think of it that way. Because what I think you're going to see happen is Florida State wants to go to the SEC. Clemson wants to go to the SEC. And I think Miami will want to go to the SEC. So while everybody's busy looking that direction, UNC is going to Irish exit and end up in the Big Ten. Maybe take UVA with them.
As a big fan of the Irish goodbye. Cool. I get it. let's look at this from the other angle, though, Denton Day. And I don't think that records matter. Right. I've had a couple of people that have texted the show so far and been like, Rob Brown, Florida State was 2-10 last year. Why would the SEC want them? It's not about record. It's about brand power. It's about money brought to the table by the brand. But it's also about footprint. That is, I don't think geography matters as far as where teams have to travel and whatnot. Again, Cal's coming to North Carolina to play games every year.
Right.
But footprint matters. Tallahassee is wedged in between Gainesville and Opelika, Alabama, and Tuscaloosa and Athens, Georgia. Miami, obviously, a little bit better off in that they control the southern half of the Florida Peninsula, but they're only 7 hours from Gainesville, 9 from Tallahassee. I look at Clemson. South Carolina's 45 minutes away. Athens is 2 hours the other direction. And Knoxville, Tennessee ain't that far off either. Does the SEC bestow an invitation upon those two schools? Because while they do have a brand, they don't really grow the footprint any. Which of those two things is more important, do you think?
I feel like the brand is going to be more important. I do love it because I'm sure your Twitter mentions are filled with this all the time about what about the record? Who cares about the record? That has never been a point of contention or notice with this. It's all about brand. And honestly, that's where I feel like Florida State might take a little bit of a hit, because at the very least, Clemson has a very good brand in the state of South Carolina, whereas it's always felt like Florida State has been school number three in the state of Florida, with Florida and Miami occupying 1 and 2. You can kind of maneuver those however you will, but it's always felt like Florida State is number three. And it is not lost on me that when they started this uproar, the SEC and Sankey kind of told them politely to F off. They're like, hey, you're being really annoying right now, and you're giving us a bunch of problems that we don't really want. So if you're going to come in here bringing these problems, we have the leverage here because we already have this state fully covered up. I do think that they're going to look, though, as you mentioned, in maybe some more northern schools to justify and to grow the reach, because you're right. Footprint is a big thing, but now it's much more of a national footprint.
What is the cap for size of these conferences, obviously specifically the Big Ten and the SEC, but I do think whether it flies under the ACC banner or the Big 12 banner, I think the other conference is probably going to maybe end up with more schools just so they have more of that brand power within it, even if they're smaller brands stacked on top of each other. Do you think there is a cap to size of any of these conferences?
I would say probably 30. And I know that's an asinine number, but if you're just thinking about it from like the structuring of a conference, if you have 30, you can do three divisions of 10. You can do five divisions of six or something along those lines. I feel like you'd be much more comfortable with an even number of teams in each division or subsect of your conference, whatever. I feel like that'd be a lot easier. So you can kind of round robin it, if you will. I think anything more than 30 though would feel a little silly. Even saying 30 out loud, like, can you imagine 30 teams in a conference? That sounds ludicrous, but I feel like that would be the absolute cap. If you're going over 30, I mean, at that point, I feel like you'd almost be losing money.
I don't disagree. What I will say, Denton Day, I am now officially convinced, justified or not, you tell me, college football is just going to have an NFL format. It's going to be an NFL structure when this is all said and done.
It's just going to be larger because there's so many more teams in college than the NFL. Like, that's why I bring up 30, because it feels like the Big Ten already has like 20. I mean, they're knocking on the door of it if they're not there yet. So adding like six or seven more of those, at that point, you're like, all right, if we're going to add, let's just say you add three or four teams out of the ACC, you might as well go look at the Big 12. Like, all right, who fits what we're trying to do? Someone's going to call up Notre Dame and say, look, we just need you in this pile of fun as well. We'll let you keep your TV deal, but we're going to need you in here to justify some of the moves that we're making. So I feel like, because my number has always been like a Super League of 60. If you can get 60 in the Super League, I feel like that's a really good size.
That's kind of what I think the ultimate destination is. I just think you're going to have two 30-team Super League, but the Big Ten and the SEC hold hands with each other and are effectively one conference playing under two separate banners. We'll see if we get there. Who's left to make a move? I agree with you on Notre Dame, and I do think that, and I've said this a couple of times, I do think there is a point where somebody says, Big Ten, SEC, hell, maybe the ACC down the line, says, you can keep every feature of being an independent. You can keep your NBC contract. You can keep all the bowl money, whatever. We just want to include you in our number for our media stuff over here. You got Florida State and Clemson out of the ACC. You got a couple of schools left in the Big 12. How many more schools do you think are considered crown jewels that could be picked up by those two big conferences and shake up the map?
So I would say right now there are four like definitive crown jewels. That's Clemson, Florida State, Miami, and UNC. I do think there are what I would consider like tier-wise to be good gets. Like, I think UVA and Duke could be considered a good get, one or maybe NC State, whoever, one of those other North Carolina schools and potentially Virginia. I think one of the Arizona schools out of the Big 12 would be considered a good get. Kansas is a good get, especially if they continue to move in the direction of being, you know, not terrible at football as they've been the last couple of years. And then maybe you can throw Colorado and Utah in there is like a good quality get, to where you're not adding somebody and then losing a bunch of money because you added this particular school. But outside of that, I mean, I don't really know what the money is like over there at BYU. I would imagine if it's at least anywhat similar to Liberty, where I went to school, that they have a lot of donors that we don't know about. So that might be beneficial as well from a television standpoint. But I feel like there's only four crown jewels and then a bunch of like, good gets, not slim pickings. That feels disrespectful, but a little, maybe medium pickings. How about that?
We're all about team mid over here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Off Stage. All right, Denton Day, one more before we let you go. What's your draft hot take? Everybody's got one draft hot take. What's your draft hot take?
I think Tetero McMillan drops past 20.
Wow.
Yeah, I think as we get closer to it, I don't know that we'll see a fire sale at wide receiver that we have in years past. I think teams are going to go elsewhere, and I think he ends up kind of slipping through the cracks.
He has ended up at number 9 to my New Orleans Saints on a bazillion mocks so far. So that's honestly, that's a bit of a shock to me. How do you buy into this Shedeur Sanders' arrogant conversation, or do you think he was just, I don't know, raised by Deion Sanders?
It's a little bit of both. I have heard stories that we have all heard, but I also have limited experience, shall we say, of like helping out at a Pac-12 media day when they were still technically in the Pac-12, and he sat down for an interview and the 90-second commercial break was too long, so he got up And then he left the interview. And then Travis Hunter did extra time because he left the interview. So there's definitely, there's a little bit of smoke to the fire, but it's one of those things where once you see a little bit of the smoke, you get a lot of people that then start really fanning the flames. But there's a little bit of something there. But he, Deion's kid, like, you know what I mean? I mean, I can't judge Deion's kid. He lived a different life than I did.
For sure.
Way different.
90 seconds is a long time, especially if it's like a bunch of 15s chained together. It makes it seem a lot longer.
I think he sat down with like 60 seconds in the 90 seconds. And he was like, this is too long. And he got up and left.
In fairness, I very rarely sit down for 90 seconds to do anything. I get it. The ADHD is no joke, Denton Day, is all I'm saying.
I don't doubt that, but I think people were trying to talk to him, and he just had, he wanted no part of it.
Fair enough. Denton Day hosts College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. He is also a utility man host on where I think might be the greatest group of radio personality talent of all time, the BetMGM Network. If I may say so myself, I'm slightly biased. He has been kind enough to join us on Wednesdays, and hopefully we'll continue to do so because he's a legendary broadcaster. Appreciate you, big dog.
Hey, appreciate it, fellas. Fun as always.
My pleasure. Denton Day. Follow him on X at the Denton Day because the guy's just live all the time. He's the best. We're coming back right after this. We'll talk about that Shedeur Sanders report and more next up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The NFL Combine is very interesting in that, obviously, we are evaluating the athletic potential of potential draft picks. We are, the resume to me is what's on tape from their college performances. The Combine is to see what the ceiling of their athletic prowess is. Obviously, if a wide receiver can set a vert record, then we know the kid's got hops, and now we can work that into whatever offense we're going to draft him into. If we find out that maybe an offensive lineman doesn't have off-the-ball acceleration like we'd like, and we're a team that utilizes, like, I don't know, the Baltimore Ravens, a lot of pulling guards, maybe that's a guy that we looked at and we go, he's big, he's strong, he's athletic, but we pull our guards a lot, and he doesn't have that real quick first step. He's not really the fit here anymore. The point is not to see how good they are at football. It's to see how good they are at the individual skills that become the composite of who they are as a football player and to decide if they fit into your offense or your defense. Oh, I had a real good segment going here.
All right, this is self-serving a little bit to a degree, but because it's the sources, but it's Ian Rappaport.
Is going to fight Jordan Schultz.
The Bears are expected to trade for Chiefs All-Pro guard Joe Tooney.
Oh.
As Chicago continues to load up. I mean, what are we doing, people?
Oh.
What are we doing?
I'll tell you what you're doing.
Okay, All-Pro guard moved out to tackle because he didn't have a tackle and performed really well there. What are we doing?
I'll tell you. You are doing your darndest.
Wow.
To stop a rebuild in the future. You are trying to roll a little bit at a time and just be young at a bunch of spots instead of getting old at all the spots. And then one year, whether it's Mahomes walks away or Reed walks away or whatever, going, uh-oh, we got to rebuild a whole football team and having to dive down into Saints territory. You're going to try to do that a position at a time. What do we know what the compensation is?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, it's it's a source of saying it's happening.
Sure. Sure.
Casey gets a bit younger, plus frees up some money Bingo. To use elsewhere.
Exactly what I said. It is a matter of, although he is without a doubt the anchor on your offensive line, he is also, how old is Thuney now? I mean, he ain't young.
No, but when he was in there,
he's 32.
The interior with him and Kay,
very good.
Creed, and it, yeah.
But I'll tell you what's going to happen now. You guys are drafting linemen.
We should do anyway.
I agree. I said after the Super Bowl, there will be a philosophy shift in the National Football League. I think, I could be wrong, but I think you are going to see in the first round of the National Football League draft here in just about 50-some days from now, I think 54, 55, whatever it is. On the opening night of the National Football League draft in round number one, I think you may very well see a record number of offensive linemen taken in the first round. I think this might be the, as basic football fans go, and literally, the least sexy first round of all time, because I think it's going to be an absolute run on offensive linemen. Because I think, as the Philadelphia Eagles have now won 2 Super Bowls in 7 years, they've been to 3, I think they have reset the game. A lot of guys in years gone by looked and they said, we're going to draft outside. We're going to draft receivers. We're going to draft defensive backs. We're going to draft quarterbacks and running backs. I think the philosophy has been inverted due to Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles. I think you are going to start seeing teams draft from the inside out. You start drafting on the offensive and defensive lines, and then you draft skill position guys, linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties, wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, etc. When you get to a spot that you go, this is a first round talent, and we're sitting at pick number 31, and now this guy's available. Now we believe that this wide receiver has dropped beyond where we would think he's going to be graded out, to a spot that the value of picking him here is greater than an offensive lineman that in days gone by maybe was a mid-second rounder, but because we're going on runs, is now the next best offensive lineman. We can't justify a 31st overall pick at that spot. But this wide receiver who we thought was going to be available or would have been off the table most years at 16 has fallen to us here because of how many offensive linemen have been drafted. I think you are going to see on night one of the NFL draft, genuinely, more offensive linemen taken in the first round than maybe ever before in the modern era.
Okay, I don't think this has anything to do with Philadelphia. I get what you're saying. It really, I think this has to do with Patrick Mahomes nearly getting killed.
Oh, no.
Hang on, Super Bowl.
Let me be clear. I was talking about the draft itself. Okay. What I'm saying about Kansas City is, I think you guys, and not just Kansas City, I think a lot of teams are gonna try their hand at this philosophy this year. What I'm saying for Kansas City is you're drafting at 31. This is a really good class of offensive linemen, like a really good class of offensive linemen. So I think the strategy, if I'm Kansas City here, is Joe Dooney's got one of the biggest contracts of an offensive lineman in the league. That's off the books. You are going to pick up a couple of draft picks in return for this, I suspect. So you get a bunch of cap money, and you get probably at least 2 or 3 draft picks out of this deal, unless you get like one high draft pick, you know, get a second rounder for him or something. And because it is a deep offensive line class, Kansas City has the option, which is package whatever pick they get for Thuney and move way up in the first round, or you stick at 31, you get an offensive lineman because it's a good class, and there's going to be guys who in other years would have graded out to be a top 15, 16, 17 pick that will fall to 31 because there's just that many of those guys now. You
right,
draft
now
his replacement.
A future fourth round pick is involved.
So you trade 31
and
a future.
This is about money.
It is about money. Okay. But again, if it is about money, that is still an indicator to me that you are preparing for the future and trying to avoid a complete and total rebuild when one of the bulwarks steps away, right? Whether it's Reed or Mahomes, whenever one of those guys decides, I've had enough, I'm done. And because, again, there are guys on that roster that are there to play for Andy Reid or with Patrick Mahomes. Much like when Brady left Tampa, not everybody, but you had a handful of guys who said, I was here to play with Brady, I'm out. I was here to play for Bruce Arians, I'm out. I'm not playing for Todd Bowles. When either Mahomes or Reid goes, or both of them go, nightmare scenario, they both leave after they win a Super Bowl and decide, we've had enough, we're both out. You guys,
hey, listen,
I think...
you're going to have to stop all the profanity, okay?
I have yet to begin to profane. You guys are setting yourself up so that when those guys go, and that's not to say it's going to be like, oh, they win the Super Bowl next year and they're out. It could be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years down the road. But when it happens, you guys want to have your youth core in place. You want to probably replace, it's maintenance. You want to replace an old part or 2 old parts every couple of years. So that down the line, the whole thing doesn't break down and you got to replace everything, right? It's like your car. You go get the oil done and then you go get your belts changed, and then you go get your tires rotated or your tires changed and new ones put on, and then you replace your coolant, and you replace the this and the that. That's all the car things I know that you have to fix. But you do those things with the car things so that you don't drive around a car that, yeah, it's working fine for a handful of years. It's getting you where you need to go and back. And then one day you walk out and it doesn't start because everything's busted. And now I gotta fix everything. Now I got one big ass bill instead of a couple of little bills here and there. I think this is a matter of you guys putting a few million dollars back onto the cap that you can now spend on rookies and get young guys on rookie contracts. It opens up another draft pick. Again, if it's just a fourth rounder, that's actually a little bit surprising. But a fourth rounder that you can package with one, you can go get some guys on young deals. This is smart. This is Kansas City saying, when Rita Mahomes leave, we don't want to have an old-ass team that we got to replace everything. We're going to have a bunch of young pieces. Because Joe Thuney's not going to be there when Mahomes and Reed leave. So why not go ahead and make that transition and get the next guy in there? I actually like this move for Kansas City as much as he was the stalwart of your O-line. Let's talk about that Shador Sanders thing when we come back. The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFL Draft Combine, one of the four premier events on the NFL calendar. NFL Opening Day, the NFL Super Bowl, the NFL Draft Combine, the NFL Draft. I will accept Madden release date as an honorary fifth date on that schedule. I love the Combine. I love the Combine as a nerd because, again, I get to evaluate the physical capabilities of potential draft picks. Their resume is what they did in college and who they did it against. What the combine does is allow me, and I guess NFL GMs or whatever, to evaluate what a player is physically capable of. I was going off the illustration in the last segment. I'll do it again here. Let's say it's time to work out guards. And so I line up a guard. And what I have them do is a pull drill. I'm going to run a drill where I'm going to have you line up in pass pro. I'm going to have you go into a pass pro drop back, get the hands up, show me your pass blocking technique. Then I'm going to have a coach in front of you point left or right. And whatever way he points, I want you to sprint that direction around a cone. What am I gauging there? I'm gauging pull speed. How fast can you go from a set position to lateral acceleration left or right? Why am I evaluating that? Well, if I'm a team that likes to shift the pocket in pass pro, I want to see how quickly you can change your coverage angle left or right. If I'm the Baltimore Ravens, a team that has a lot of pulling guards involved in their run game, I want to see how quickly can you accelerate on a pull. Can I trust you as the left guard to, as soon as the ball hits Lamar's hands, already have your hand off the buttocks of the center, pulling out front of Lamar or Derrick Henry or whoever? I need to see what you are capable of doing mechanically so that I can evaluate if those mechanics are a good fit inside of what my offense is. That's the combine for the nerds. The combine for, like, average everyday fans is you get a chance to see eyes on a bunch of guys that maybe you didn't watch play a lot of college football that could be the newest member of your team. It's a day for renewal, optimism, rejuvenation. That's what the combine's for. But there's another aspect of the combine, and that aspect is getting the opportunity to hear stories about how these guys interact. I played a clip for you earlier in the show. I'm going to play it again here. John Gruden now works for Barstool Sports. He had the opportunity to sit down with longtime Minnesota Vikings defensive back and very good football player Fred Smoot. And Smoot said, "Chucky, I've been looking for you for a minute." So now that clip is obviously a lot of fun. That clip's a lot of fun. That clip's fun because it's Fred Smoot telling a story. Obviously, he never got a ring, but his career worked out pretty well for him. John Gruden telling that story, having a chuckle. He did get a ring out of that 2001 team. The defensive backs on that team were Donnie Abraham, Rondé Barber, David Gibson, John Howell, Brian Kelly, and Dexter Jackson. It's not a bad list of DBs. Fred Smoot in 2001 would have started on that roster. That team would have been better. Fred Smoot would have won a Super Bowl and potentially stuck around on that team for a long time. That team could have ended up being, and I mean they were, but could have been an even better defensive dynasty. But John Gruden passed on Fred Smoot. And according to the story, if you believe them to be telling this story, though comically accurately, it's because Fred Smoot walked into his interview with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and said to head coach John Gruden, "The world is covered 30% by water. I cover the rest, or 70% by water. I cover the rest." Whatever the joke goes, it's a joke we've heard about DBs for a very long time. And Chucky said, "Yeah, no, we're good. We're good." And went completely somewhere else with his draft pick. Enter Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders, according to reports out of the NFL Draft Combine, and do remember before we start this or any other draft conversation, it is what season? Hashtag smokescreen a season. Teams are liars. They're all lying right now because they want to lie about guys that they want to pick, and they want to lie about guys they don't want to pick, so that the guys that they do want to pick get passed up on other teams, and so the guys that they don't want to pick get selected earlier by other teams and leave their guys on the board. Everybody's a liar. But this is one of those ones that we have now heard from a number of places, and I believe, after our conversation with Denton Day from SiriusXM earlier in the show, that there's a little smoke to the fire here. The report is that Shedeur Sanders, one of the two quarterbacks considered top 10 picks, is arrogant, is cocky, is over the top. And that some teams, including the New York Giants, are now turned off to the idea of drafting Shedeur Sanders because of his arrogance. Now, I will not argue that arrogance can be, most of the time, is a negative trait for someone. I would entirely agree with that. I don't know that it's always bad for a pro athlete. I want you to genuinely think right now about the list of great athletes. I'm not talking about really good. I'm talking about great athletes. How many of them would you say were arrogant? I would say most of them. It almost, to me, kind of feels like you kind of got to be a little arrogant to be one of the best. And then on top of that fact, this is Deion's kid. Has anybody ever described Deion Sanders with any word outside of cocky? arrogant. And we all go, we celebrate Deion for it. Again, could you imagine back in the mid-90s when Deion got drafted to the NFL, if they would have looked at him and said, this kid's too arrogant, this kid's too cocky. Somebody would have drafted Deion late. He'd have gone on to have one of the greatest elite careers as a defensive back slash kick returner in the National Football League. And we'd have all been sitting here talking about how in the world did every NFL team pass on Deion Sanders. Of course he was cocky. Shock of shocks, Deion's kid's a little cocky. He's also one of the toughest SOBs in this draft. Deion Sanders' kid, Shador, played behind a garbage Colorado offensive line and was one of the most, if not the most, sacked quarterbacks in Division I football this year. You know how many games Shador Sanders missed with injuries? Not many. Over his career, not very many. He was durable. He constantly performed. Listen, I've been saying for a while, Shador Sanders ain't a top 10 pick for me. He's good. He's not a top 10 pick. And now I'm defending this guy from claims of arrogance because he walked into a room and he said, one quote was attributed to him. He said, if you ain't trying to redefine your franchise, don't draft me. And a lot of people were like, oh God, ooh, that's arrogant. Is it though? Is it though? I want you to think about all the great quarterbacks in the NFL. Tell me which of them did not redefine their franchise. Drew Brees redefined the New Orleans Saints. Lonzo, would you say Patrick Mahomes redefined the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think you'd probably have to say that, Rob.
Yeah, I think you would. I think you would. I'd have to say Tom Brady redefined the New England Patriots. Joe Burrow redefined the Cincinnati Bengals. Josh Allen redefined the Buffalo Bills. Lamar Jackson redefined the Baltimore Ravens. Great quarterbacks redefine the franchise. Do you want a quarterback who doesn't believe he's going to be great? Of course I do not. I got a lot of reasons to say Shador Sanders is in a top 10 draft pick. Maybe top 15 draft pick. A lot of reasons. A lot of football reasons. A lot of taped college football reasons. He's arrogant and cocky. Ain't one. He's Deion's kid. And quarterbacks are supposed to be cocky. It kind of comes with the territory. It's like the oldest teen movie trope of all time. If you don't want to draft Shador, fine. But cocky and arrogant ain't a good reason for it.
All right, speaking of cocky and arrogant, the first thing is X-ing is Becky Lynch.
I see what you did there. Becky Lynch is trending. I actually did see this because apparently she sent a message, Seth Rollins' wife, to AJ Lee, who is CM Punk's wife, because Punk said in his promo on Monday, which was electric, by the way, Becky Lynch, come get your man. It was phenomenally performed, okay? He said, come get your man before I put him in a wheelchair. Well, Becky Lynch, kayfabe, I believe, sent a message to AJ Lee and effectively kind of called her out and said, hey, come get your man before mine puts him in a wheelchair. Here's what I think we're getting, great one. I think we're getting Punk and AJ versus Seth and Becky in a WrestleMania match. You bring the girls back. You allow them to play off of each other. I don't need 30 minutes out of either. You let Punk and Rollins carry it. You get two of the most notorious and well-liked female superstars of all time on the WrestleMania card. And I want you to know, I'm all in to bring AJ Lee and Becky back.
All right. Unless I saw something wrong, she said, come and get your man. And she showed a picture of CM Punk and a picture of Cora Jade.
Okay.
And some people are really upset because Becky noticed something that I've been noticing for a while. Is that CM Punk sure is awful friendly and hanging around with all the young girls. Just saying. It looks a little creepy. It looks like maybe something's going on. And she's just pointing out what everyone else is pointing out. And so people are coming at her for doing that.
In kayfabe, that's a great line. That's a great play in kayfabe. In real life, Punk is actually spending a ton of time at the performance facility acting as a coach.
Yeah, but you don't see him hanging around with the dudes.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Follow his social media.
I do.
He's doing TikToks with Tricky Trick Williams.
Yep, it's mostly the girls that
I'm not saying it's not, because, and this may shock you, the girls do the majority of the social media-ing down there at the Performance Center and on the main roster.
Nuh-uh.
I know. It's very weird.
All right, the next thing sexing is Matt Murdock.
Daredevil season, what are we on, 2, 3, whatever it is, the new season of Daredevil, Daredevil Reborn, drops today. No, dropped last night at 9 o'clock.
Yes, it dropped last night at 9 o'clock, which means I didn't watch it, because you can't watch something like that and then expect to go to bed.
Yeah. So I decided
I'll be watching it today.
That I was going to watch a bunch of college and NBA basketball and save it today. I will say this. The commercial came on during one of the games. I'm sitting on the couch with the wife. The commercial came on during one of the games, and she looked at me and she goes, "So we start that tomorrow?" She loves Daredevil.
Can she handle the violence? Because supposedly they up it, even though it's on Disney.
She is all in. What I think is, and I mean this, the best moment of cinematography that Marvel has done in the entire MCU was the hallway fight scene from Daredevil season one.
And that was
the greatest thing they put on film in the MCU. That was over, and I distinctly remember, that was like 2 or 3 years ago, that was over, longer than that. I distinctly remember, because she watched Daredevil season one with me, I distinctly remember that scene ending. She stopped it, and she goes, "Rewind it, I want to watch that again." She loves Daredevil. Daredevil, I think, great one. Daredevil, I think, is the open door that Marvel has left to get the scragglers and hangers-on to stay in the MCU. You added him into the Spider-Man movie. Now you've given him a TV show. It is the most gritty, real of all the superhero projects. I think he is your open door to the non-super fantastic superhero realm of the MCU.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
Also, bring back Luke Cage
this afternoon. That's in the works, supposedly.
Yeah, I liked Luke Cage.
Yeah, so did I. I did. I thought.
I like Jessica Jones too.
I thought Danny Rand got a bad rap, but I think people just latched on it. Oh yeah, I think he sucks too.
Yeah, anyway. But Iron Fist was of all of the street level heroes, Iron Fist was obviously far and away the farthest divorced from his classic comic book lore. And I think that turned off the nerds. And if the nerds are turned off, they bring all the normies with them.
All right. And the last thing that's X-ing, Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley is now the highest paid running back in NFL history. He signed a 2-year deal for $42 million, 36 of it guaranteed. He is the only NFL in history to be paid more than $20 million per year. He also has escalators and incentives that could boost him to another $15 million a year. Look, I didn't make a segment out of Saquon Barkley today, not because I didn't want to, but because what the hell else do you say? He's real good at football, and he earned it this year.
I guess you say congratulations.
Hell yeah. Saquon, my Venmo is open, big dog. The show, however, is closed. We're done. We're going home. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. Come back tomorrow. We're going to do it all over again, but better. We got Lulu Kessin. We got Rashad Beer. We got Hayton Ass Mario. We got Fight Club and more. That's all tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.